It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, every night here till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are on your radio. We're on our website, philhendryshow.com, and of course we are on the TuneIn app that I know you've downloaded and placed prominently on your smartphone, and it's the Phil Hendry channel there at TuneIn. And I'll tell you something, if we continue with the traction we're getting with the great people, the great platform the TuneIn is, that someday, somehow, some way, we'll have our own app, and off we go into the wild blue yonder with that.
Now, you've got to be very careful with... Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, by the way.
Margaret.
And I want to introduce myself because we haven't been doing that.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you?
That's fine. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
Well, don't make a big issue out of it.
All right, okay, so you're introduced.
Yes, and watch out with all that app talk, because there are people, there are forces at work here bigger than you, Phil.
Yeah, that's true, Miss Anna, you know.
Oh, there's forces bigger than me at work, huh? Are you talking about radio stations and radio? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about radio. You think that you're going to live by way of an app and not a radio station? Is that your thought?
No, it is not my thought. No, it is not my thought at all. My thinking is, yes, I do want to be on radio stations, but until such time as we are on all the stations, we have the option of the smartphone app. That's all I'm saying. So to that end, we're very, very happy to be with the people at TuneIn. Now, I wanted to mention that we are as well... on KNEW in San Francisco, which is a very, very good spot for our friends in San Francisco to go and find out more about the Sketchfest, which is happening, as you know, toward the end of this month. And we're going to be there on the 26th of January at the Eureka Theater for the World of Phil Hendry. So be a part of our first, I would say, first official one-man show performance.
Now, have you written this yet?
None of your business.
Aha! I told you.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute.
Wait, whoa, hold the phone. You haven't even written it.
Wait a second. Yes, I've written it. Of course I've written it.
I'm not talking about, Phil, the many, many years you've been in the business and the wonderful things you've created. That's not writing. I'm talking about the very specific framework of the writing of... What am I trying to say? The very...
Well...
No, but hold on.
You're trying to say...
Hold on, bud. I'm talking about the very specific... The specific... Let me look at my notes.
The specific framework, is that what you mean?
Yes.
That I have not dealt with, you think? Yes, I have.
So you have been writing.
I've written it. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing. Don't worry about whether I've written it. Have I written it? You know what? I swear to God, this is the only show in the history of the world where people have... They got a microscope up my rear end, down my nose, everybody looking into my life and the background of the things, what I do, and I'm here to tell you I know exactly what it is I am doing, okay?
Well, good for you. Isn't he just... You're a regular Daniel Webster.
Yeah, dude, you're talking bad.
I'm talking fine. I'm doing that stuff on purpose. All right, welcome to the program. This evening, Margaret, if you piss me off any more than you already have, we may not get to your segment on being fondled by the disembodied hand. You know...
Wait just a minute.
No, hold on. Last night, as you guys may have recalled, Margaret was reminiscing about the time we were in Park City, Utah, the driving of the car by what had one time been a brothel there in the Wild West environs of Park City, Utah, way, way back in the day. And Dr. Jim Sadler, who has done some further research on the idea of the disembodied, disembodied, the floating body part, I don't know what the hell it's called, is going to be on here in a few minutes to talk with you about that.
Yes, and I'd like this taken seriously. I don't want a lot of hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and this kind of smirking, you know?
You're going to expect it.
Margaret, if I might, by the way, everyone, I'm General Galen Shaw, and it's all right, Phil, don't get up.
Sorry, General, I know I should be introducing people, but I'm getting a little sidetracked here.
No, it's perfectly fine. Margaret, the point that I wanted to make was if you are going to be speaking of a disembodied hand that you said last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, and here's where I think Bud and Robert could be very much a part of the conversation.
No, I do not want them a part of this conversation.
Hold on. If you guys keep it adult in nature.
Well, I've got to keep it adult in nature. She's the one that said that the hand slipped in.
See, this is what I mean.
Well, hold on, Margaret, because this is exactly what the point is that I'm trying to make. Now, you said that a hand that was invisible. Is this correct?
I never used the word invisible, no.
Well, Margaret, was it invisible?
It was a spook.
It was a spook hand.
It was the spook hand, yes.
The spook hand?
I am not getting up and leaving. I'm going over to my bag against the door there to get a Roytan.
You're not lighting it up in here.
You want to make a bet on that?
Hey, come on, Margaret.
No.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break here. No, we can't take a break. It's too early.
Well, who's got a lighter?
Well, Tip, you want to bite off the end of that thing.
Hey, don't tell me to, but would you watch that? Would you tell him to watch that?
What?
He said bite off the end of that thing.
He's talking about the cigar.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. So we'll have Dr. Jim Sadler on a little bit later on in the program. Also, coming up this weekend, it is championship weekend of the National Football League. Bud, you and Steve took a break this past weekend for the divisional playoffs. You will be back at it with both championship games, is my understanding, correct?
That is correct, Phil. Me and Steve Bozell will be doing both of them and everything and stuff like that.
Why are you acting very nervous?
Well, I never know.
Well, it's okay. It's just, you know, you guys are going to be doing the game, right?
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, quit fooling around with the paper and just look straight ahead and say what it is you want to say.
Well, I don't know.
Give me that. Oh. Now, look straight ahead.
Yes, sir.
Now, you have to articulate what you're saying. You and Basil, or not Basil, you and Steve Bozell are going to...
Your voice is cracking again, General.
Oh, God darn it.
Let me go get a water.
Do I want you to go get a water? No, I can go get the water myself. I'll go get the water myself.
Yeah, what do you suppose that is?
I don't know, but perhaps a doctor, you know, hello. You've heard of those, haven't you?
Yeah.
Maybe an
But you said, the nose, and ear guy.
Right, the nose, throat, and ear guy. Well, we'll see. You all right, General?
Yes, I'm fine. The air has been very dry. For those of you listening at home or on your app or whatever it is that Phil has been trying to sell here...
Not trying anything. It's a real thing.
Okay, well, yes, the air here in Southern California has been exceedingly dry.
82 degrees again today.
That's my understanding, yes.
You're kidding. Here?
Yes, it was 82 degrees here at the El Pacifico. Now... L.A., it runs, and this is very unusual, L.A. has been running about 9 degrees cooler. Nine. Am I right about that? Yeah, 9 degrees cooler than the beach here. So a very weird and interesting weather system has fallen. So anyway, you were saying?
What I was saying was the air is dry, and as a result of that, my voice, yes, is you can hear it right there.
It sounded good there for a while.
It sounded good because I wasn't thinking about it.
Oh, so if you think about it, then it's going to get bad.
Say that again?
If you think about it, then your voice is going to crack.
So try not to think about it.
Well, that's like trying not to think about a monkey that... If I were to say to you, don't think about a monkey, what are you going to think about?
Say that again?
If I were to say to you, don't think about a monkey...
You said don't think about a monkey.
If you were to say to me, don't think about a monkey, yeah, I'd probably be... thinking about it.
Why?
Because you can't not think about it.
You understand, Bud? If someone said to you, Bud, don't think about a monkey, what are you thinking about right now?
You.
You're thinking about me, you dirty...
Right, watch it. You don't want him thinking about a monkey, do you?
Well, he is thinking it. Aren't you thinking about a monkey right now?
Well, not unless you're a monkey. So I'm thinking about you. I'm looking at you.
All right, now what are you thinking about?
Your son.
Why?
Because you said think about a monkey.
Yow! All right. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and on the TuneIn Apparoo. Check it out. Also, of course, On our website, you can sign up for a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show. We got all of our technical malfeasance corrected last night. I'll clue you in on that. We'll be back here with Dr. Jim Sadler and more on the disembodied spook hand. Sorry.
It's not funny at all.
Sorry. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Come on now, Mike. Let's go, baby.
Jeez.
Look at that guy.
Oh, Mike Zito. Providing this bit of bumper music. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video, as well as tune in. Check us out on our little channel there. All right. Dr. Jim Sadler to join us as we discuss with him sort of a continuation of last night's discussion, and I thought that it deserved at least some serious treatment, at least for a few minutes. And I don't say that, I'm not trying to be funny here, Margaret. I really do believe it, you know.
Well, you're not trying to be funny now, but you started out with a spook hand.
You called it spook hand.
Yeah, you did.
No, I don't. General Shaw.
Margaret, I do believe you called it spook hand, yes.
Would you take another sip of water?
Sorry. I believe you did call it spook hand.
Are you?
Well, if you're going to sit and...
General, you better go get something else. Maybe get some cottage cheese.
Don't get cottage cheese. That's the worst thing you could possibly eat if you're trying to clear your throat out.
Why is that?
Because it creates phlegm. It's a phlegm-producing food. All right. Dr. Jim Sadler with us from San Diego, California this evening to talk about the paranormal. And this isn't Halloween. There isn't anything particularly conducive to this topic this time of year. It's, well, January.
It sort of does, may not be something that plays into this time of year, like Halloween or a festival of the demon.
What do you mean, festival of the demon?
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking of, there are a lot of different festivals that are celebrations of the dead. I'm sure you're aware of the Day of the Dead. You're aware of that, Phil?
In Mexico?
That is exactly correct. In the Mexico, in the central part of Mexico, I forget the state, but they have a Day of the Dead.
What do they do that day?
Well, what they do on that day is they celebrate, and it's really not a day that is morbid. It's not a day that is sad or scary. It's a day of celebration for the spirits that have gone before us, those that have passed on before us, and it's sort of a day of festivity. There's a great deal of artwork, a great deal of the representations of the dead.
Well, I have seen the artwork. It is rather stunning.
You know, I always wanted to go to the Day of the Dead, and maybe someday I'll make it there, because I love Mexico, but... it just hasn't been in the cards. You know, it's kind of in a part of the, during a time of the year, I guess, when we're working, we're not really vacationing. But nonetheless, tell me about, you know, why this is a good time, even though we're not talking about a festival having to do with the dead or...
Well, is this a good time to talk about the spook, not spook hand, which is what Margaret...
Doctor, I didn't call it spook hand, Phil did.
No, yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Well, it doesn't matter who called it that.
But by the way, excuse me, I don't want him going, yeah, you did.
Yeah, be cool it, will you, bud?
Well, I did. I want it. Dr. Sadler, are you there?
Yes, General.
I did hear Margaret say that she was felt up by a spook, you know, a disembodied spook hand.
All right.
No, I did not say anything of the sort.
And by the way, you talk about my voice, you just went, ah! It sounded like you gagged a little bit.
Well, if you are going to criticize the way I'm talking and every other word that comes out of your mouth sounds as if someone grabbed a hold of your you-know-whats with one of those clamps and just gave it a quick twist, you know?
Yeah?
Margaret, you're getting too far into this. You're never going to get out of it.
Well...
Can we get back to me?
Yeah, go ahead, Doctor.
So, Margaret, what you experienced... is a disembodied body part. Now, I did take the liberty of calling up Nikki on Phil's staff, and she is there in remote in Washington, D.C. Now, Nikki, did you find anything in your research that indicates the disembodied body part, like a floating leg or something like that?
A floating leg.
Right.
Not a specific body part, but yes. I've heard of intelligent haunting.
You've heard of that.
Yeah.
So you just ignored me and didn't do any research and just started thinking about things that you had seen. I see.
Well, she's talking about something. What? Go ahead, Nikki. What is this intelligent haunting?
It's when a haunting spirit is aware of you and capable of interacting with
Nikki,
you.
Excuse me, honey. Would you tell Dr. Sadler to shut up? I'm listening to what she's saying.
I didn't know she was going to ignore me.
Take it easy. Go ahead, Nikki.
Go on, dear.
They can move objects. They can have physical contact with you. And I imagine that it actually was attached to an entity. It wasn't just a hand.
All right. So, thank you, Nikki. So, but was that based on research that you did that I directed you to do? Or did you just cook that up?
Nope. I researched it. I promise.
She researched it, okay?
All right. But, I mean, she didn't start out.
Dr. Sadler, this is not a test of how your authority works. We're trying to get information.
I understand. I believe it was General Shaw who was the one that introduced the idea, or one of you, of a disembodied hand.
No, I talked about a spook hand. Hold on for a minute.
And would you please do something with your voice? I don't want to speak with him, Mr. Henry, if it's all the same to you.
That's fine. So what Nikki is telling us is that there is no such thing as a floating hand. It's got to be attached to a body part. Yes, Robert?
Well, I don't want to tell anybody what they're saying, but do you remember the movie Beast with Five Fingers?
Yeah, that movie was... I saw that movie, yeah, exactly.
Now, hold on for just a minute. The Beast with Five Fingers...
I remember that film, and it crawled up Peter Lorre's shirt and tried to strangle him, didn't it?
Yeah, well, yes, it did. But that was not strictly a spook hand. It was a hand what had been cut off by a guy, and it was still alive, crawling on the floor.
Now, what do you call that?
Well, there is nothing really in the literature. If the hand, what do you mean? If the hand's crawling on the floor?
Yeah, if the hand is crawling on the floor, it was, I remember that film. The man who died had cut off his own hand, Phil, and the hand crawled out of the coffin. And it went into the house, fixed itself a drink.
You trying to be cute?
No, I'm trying to...
No, it didn't fix itself a drink.
All right, well, it was a different... But in any event, the hand went out of the coffin. It had to traverse a large backyard and got into the back door. I don't know whether it had a key.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the hand.
Well, you're talking about the hand and the Beast with Five Fingers.
The what?
The hand in the movie The Beast with Five Finger, right?
Fingers.
I thought I said fingers.
No, you said The Beast with Five Finger. All right, look.
Wait a minute. I'm not done.
You're getting sidetracked. Who cares if the hand had to traverse a large backyard? It went out of the coffin. Where was this guy buried anyway?
Well, as I remember the film in The Beast with Five Fingers, the man was buried in a crypt or mausoleum that was on the property of the house where the man had lived in, you know.
There you go, right there. That is, Phil, she's right. The man was buried in a crypt in the backyard, damn it.
Here, have some lemonade.
Thank you. The man was buried in the backyard in what was a mausoleum, and then the hand crawled out, God.
I know what you're saying. The hand crawled out of the box, right?
Not the box, the coffin.
Well, what has this got to do with the hand crawling down my pants?
It has a lot to do with it because, as Nikki just said, the hand that crawled down your pants, excuse my language...
Yeah, can we clean this up a little bit, if you don't mind?
Boy, you've got some nerve, Phil. Last night you were empowering these two mental imps... to laugh and sing and joke and play as if they were in school with Mary's lamb, and you didn't say a thing. Don't look at me like that.
Well, I don't think anyone knows what you're talking about.
I'm talking...
Look it, Margaret. Yesterday, we were talking to these two guys, Bud and Robert, about your disembodied hand, and nobody knew what it was you were talking about. That's why we've got Dr. Sadler on. Now, Dr. Sadler, if you wouldn't mind, just get to the point here. We're coming up on a break.
All right, well... get to the point. I got this guy over here going, and you know, you guys. The hand that was attached, as Dickie had just told us, the hand that grabbed, that got a handful of,
The hand that fondled Margaret.
Right, the hand that fondled Margaret is attached to a ghost, a bigger guy. It's not a disembodied.
So you're saying there was someone sitting in the car with us?
There was a ghost, a presence in the car.
All right, hold the line. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss the phenomenon of the hand. Whatever, you know, I just thought I'd give it its fair...
thank you very much, Phil, for giving me a little bit of dignity as I was sitting scared to death. I didn't say a word, and I felt something... as we're driving through ski country... Never mind.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I'm Phil Hendry. With me is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray, and we have on the line with us Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, a doctor, an internist from San Diego, has done some research on the paranormal. The reason why we're talking about this is because it all started innocently last night, Margaret, with me talking about the old houses I'd seen out in Highland Park.
Well, you were talking about, yes, the old Victorian homes, the bungalow style, and so forth, which I thought was very interesting. And then I was thinking of the old buildings that we'd seen in Park City, Utah. Very charming, old Western constructs. And then it reminded me of us driving by that building that had been pointed out to us as a former brothel, a saloon. And that's when I had the very uneasy feeling. Now, I've said far more than I probably should have. I mentioned that the hand, which, and again, I'm keeping my eye on Dickman because he's got that little, you know.
Bud.
Well, she didn't.
I'm gonna beat your ass in front of the whole world. It's going to happen. Do you want that to happen?
No.
No, I'll beat your ass in front of that. How would you like a woman doing that to you?
Well, I don't think. But,
do you want to try me? You know something?
Margaret, sit down.
No. Do you want to try me?
No.
So anyway, I felt the hand go down my pants. There, you want to laugh at that?
No.
All right, Dr. Sadler, go ahead.
Well, Nikki has some very interesting further research. Now, Nikki, I know that I asked you earlier about the hand that is groping Margaret. It's attached to something. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, what were you saying during the break that was relative to that, or was I not listening very carefully? Because I was making some Lipton soup. Forgive me, Phil.
I understand.
So, go ahead, Nikki.
It's either a spirit or an entity, and there is
right.
a difference. The spirit is believed to be an energy that's left behind after someone dies.
Okay.
An entity was never human. It never had a corporeal body.
A corporeal body. Now, what Nikki is saying...
What is that in the background?
The microwave. Just got to get a little cup of soup going here. And if you don't mind, I wanted to make some microwave... popcorn? Are you gonna hurry?
No, but we're on the air. That's the only thing. And Nikki's trying to talk, and we're hearing the beep, beep, beep.
Oh, forget. I'm sorry, Nikki. I didn't know. So it could either be a being trying to communicate with Margaret from for whatever reason, a formerly human, or energy that is not yet human. Now, what would that be?
Oh my God! What is that supposed to mean? Not yet human.
It could very well be from some astral hell. Isn't that right, Nikki?
Could very well be.
How about that? Now...
What are you making now?
Big deal. Some popcorn. Forget it. Turn it off. Okay? There. I won't have any popcorn.
We're on the air, if you don't mind.
You know something? May I say something, Phil?
Go ahead, General.
Doctor, for you to sit there and make popcorn...
Ha, ha, ha. Your voice messed up. What are you laughing at?
No, he thinks it's funny.
Well, get some water and get that figured out.
Why not let him just talk and sound like a jackass, and then he'll learn?
Learn what?
To go to the doctor and get that fixed.
Anyway, so, Nikki, what you're saying is, if I'm hearing you correctly, there is something trying to communicate with Margaret. Is that correct?
Yes.
How about that?
Well, what would be trying to communicate with me?
Maybe it's something from your past. Is it possible that it's a... if this was it, well, I don't want to say.
Are you trying to suggest?
Dog, yeah, that she used to be a member of the brothel.
Is that... Are you trying to suggest that?
I'm not trying to suggest anything. I'm saying that there was something in that building that could very well have been a person that you knew, a customer. I shouldn't say customer.
How dare you?
Well, look, if you want to know what... It stands to reason... that there is something that is trying to, and if it's a brothel, why wouldn't it be a customer?
Well, why? Maybe it's a relative or something, or somebody that lived in the town with her, or someone that she knew outside of work.
Outside of work.
Oh, so now this is my work. Thank you very much.
What I'm saying is, maybe it was someone not relative to that building.
Well, but she felt it. It was grabbing a rear end, and it was right near the brothel. So I'm going to assume it probably was I won't say it.
Don't you dare say a customer. We have no idea that that's what I was.
Well, Margaret, look, we don't even know if we can call that you. It was a different, you know.
They seem to know you, so maybe they know who you, maybe your name back then was Betty. You know, so it ain't you.
Oh, it ain't me, huh?
Well, I don't know. But so it knew you, and you came driving by, and.
Well, what do these ghosts do, man? You know, do they hang around on a street corner waiting for someone to come by that they know?
You want to? If you're gonna start laughing, Mr. Henry, you can sit and have a conversation with these two deadheads that you got sitting to your left there, that Dickman and that Leonard. Because I'm telling you, I take this work very, very, very seriously.
Well, you may take it seriously there, Dr. Sadler, but the answers you're coming up with are pure balderdash and claptrap. You're talking about, number one, some kind of a spook hanging around in Park City, Utah, waiting to stick its hands down Margaret's pants.
You know, everything you say is rendered asinine by your squeaky voice.
All right, look, I tell you what, Dr. Sadler, I appreciate very much you being on the program. We probably have gone as far as we possibly can with this. I think what we've come to find out is that this is a force, if one believes in ghosts, from the past that knew Margaret in another life that was somewhere in the vicinity of that brothel. It doesn't necessarily mean you worked in a brothel, Margaret, okay?
Well.
Oh, okay. I was about to feel good about that, and he goes, well.
Well, what do you want me to say? I mean, the hand of the goo of the spook sits down in the car with you, and right away it feels a familiarity with you enough so that it starts to put its hands on you.
Well, all right. Now that's something I can sink my teeth into. That's something that makes sense, that the spook would put its hands down.
Okay. Can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead,
Doctor. I mean, General. When you talk like that, nobody takes you serious.
Well, you know something? No one may take me seriously, but you talk as if you're missing half of your tongue, and my understanding is you are. So who's going to take you seriously?
That's Dirty Pool. For you to point that out.
I think it's safe to say that this needs more research. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I don't buy it.
You don't buy what?
I don't believe in ghosts. All right, I just don't believe in ghosts. And I know that there are people out there that have there's a lot of people that have a very strong sense about ghosts, that they think they exist, that they say they've seen them. I don't believe in them, and that's all there is to it. Now, you asked me, what was that?
Yeah, I'd like to know, what?
Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. Only one person belches on this show, and I listen to it in protest, not two.
All I did was little.
So I'm still allowed to belch?
Why'd you hang up on Sadler?
I hung up on him because I'm now going to take over the narrative of this particular segment on the show, and I don't need any more of him talking about a ghost hanging around in a corner waiting to put its hands down somebody's pants because it knew them when.
Well, it's like old home week.
Yeah, it was lonely.
Lonely for what?
Well, that he knew you.
So the ghost knew me and saw me...
Hold on. I propose that what that was a moment of anxiety of some kind for you, Margaret. Now, I'm not going to ask you what you, I don't even want to go into what it was you might have been feeling or if you were feeling anything at all. But I know that we can, our senses can play tricks when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling scared, when for whatever reason we're just not in a comfort zone. We can begin to imagine feeling things. And I think that that's what happened to you.
Well, now you think I'm nuts.
Now I think you're nuts? Oh, I see. So you're sane when you're telling me there's a hand that's groping you, but you're nuts if I say it's probably something in your mind.
Yeah, everybody says anytime anybody's nuts, they say it's in their mind.
Anytime anybody ever says that they're nuts, it's in their mind.
Boy, you know, so thank you, Phil, for pointing. Dickman, you're about as dumb as they get. You know that?
Yeah, at least my voice isn't going all squeaked out.
I don't care if my voice does squeak out. You're the kind of guy that makes me look like a genius. You make me look like a regular Einstein. You know what? I'm going to go. Now I'm going to the bathroom. How about that?
Well, I'm sorry I left, but I had no choice. We're going to take a break here and come back with something perhaps a bit more, oh, I don't know, down to earth. We do have some of that weird-ass weather to talk about that we had. And how that's affecting everything, because it was another weird, weird day today here at the El Pacifico in terms of temperature, man. I'm talking about 82 degrees. It was a warm one. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. What is this?
That is very beautiful.
Get out of here. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got caught up with a paranormal investigation here. Not really. I was just looking for this website.
Well, this is the one. By the way, Nikki, I appreciate what she said during the break, which was that at least I'm attractive enough so that a ghost, a man, if you will, that no longer exists.
How do you know it was a man?
Yeah, it's hee-hee-hee. That's a good one.
Oh, my God. Did you just hear what he sounded like? You go, hee-hee-hee.
Well, what about it? How do you know it was a man?
Because I think I know the difference between a man's touch and a woman's. It was a vigorous squeeze. Well,
all right, let's just assume it was a guy.
A guy.
A man ghost, a guy ghost.
Yeah, a guy ghost.
But if you say one more word, just because you're bothering me that much, if you say one more word, I'm going to shove this entire fist right down your throat with a hand grenade in it, and pull the pin.
That's what Jack Pound said in that movie.
That's right. What are you laughing at?
So anyway, what we have here are types of hauntings and spirits and entities. The world is full of obvious things which nobody by any chance ever observes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Well, it goes into an entire description of types of ghosts, orbs, phantom orbs.
Yeah, it's like in that movie. What was that movie, Phantasm and the Orb come flying through the air?
I don't know. Vortex, like Phantom Orbs, does not recognize Vortex. I'll tell you right now, I would stay in a haunted house by myself overnight. I got no problem with that at all.
You've got to be kidding me.
Phil, now wait a minute. Think about what you're saying.
Wait. Hold on. What am I saying?
You're going to go in a haunted house by yourself.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, I'd stay in a haunted house by myself. First of all, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Okay, it's haunted. Right? It's haunted.
Well, yes. I mean, the ghosts and all of that.
Hold on for a minute. Sorry, folks.
Boy, Henry, you really got to get some people to...
Get people to take care of that for me. We had a big, wide-open window here, and we had to close it. All right. So what's the worst thing that could happen if I spend a night in a haunted house? There's ghosts, right?
Yes, there's ghosts, and it could very well be a very frightening experience that could cost you your life.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If there's really ghosts, and they really do cost me my life, then that's a major discovery. That's a major... You cannot... You know, you're not going to be able to deny that. I'm Phil Henry. I'm not a paranormalist. I'm not a guy. I haven't invested any time in looking for ghosts. I haven't been on the air talking about it. I'm just a guy. So I say, I'll go and I'll spend the night in this place.
Yeah, well, what if the thing, I mean, if it kills you?
If I die from fright or it tears me apart or whatever happens, and that is proof positive for all time that at least that house is haunted and the ghosts are real. But I'm betting that that won't be the case. What I'm betting is that the people that would take up my challenge cannot afford to have me spend that night in that house without something happening, and so they would phony it up.
Well, now, hold on for just now. You're accusing people of fraud.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm accusing them of. If I spent the night in a haunted house, somebody told me the house is haunted, and I go and I spend the night there, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, like noises and this and that, the first thing I'm going to think is it's being created by real people, okay, using all kinds of devices.
Well, how do you know, though?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now that that's the only thing. I don't believe in ghosts, so that's what I think would really be the case.
Yeah, okay, what if it's real people and then they kill you?
That's already going to be taken care of. So I'm going to say, I'm going into this house. If I die, the first thing you have to think of is who are the people that killed me? Not who the ghosts are, who were the people? Because it would have to be the most perfect murder ever committed to kill a guy spending the night in a haunted house, challenging whoever it was that is the haunting spirit to make its appearance. Now the next day they find me dead. The authorities are like, this is a death. We have to investigate this because nobody's going to say, well, it was the ghosts. Obviously the cops and the DA are going to want to know what happened. They're going to investigate this. And it's very likely that they'll find out who did it unless it was just some genius, you know, type of a murder.
Well, how do you know it wouldn't be one of those?
Well, hold on for a minute. I just said to them, I'm going to spend the night in a haunted house. I've made it pretty public. I'm talking about it on my radio show. I'm talking about it on my website. I'm on social media. So everybody knows that Phil's going to be in a haunted house. Now, whoever's going to kill me is going to have to do it in the most ingenious way possible because all eyes will be on that house that night. And if a guy's going to go in there and kill me, he's going to have to do it in such a way that he doesn't get caught. Not because he doesn't necessarily want to get caught, but because he wants it to appear as if the house is really haunted. On the other hand, if the house is really haunted and there are really ghosts, it's making quite a leap to assume the ghosts are going to want to kill me, but the ghosts being real would make an appearance and probably scare me pretty good.
Well, Phil, here's the thing. Do you remember the film The Haunting with Julie Christie and the dark-haired...
Claire Bloom. God almighty, did I love that. Wow.
Yes, pretty hot, General.
Man, I took one look at that. And
do you mind? You're talking about a woman, not a thing. Anyway, in The Haunting, Julie Harris, who was always a brilliant actress, a very quirky actress, a redheaded actress, very pretty, but very, very oddball, she feels something squeezing her hand, just as I felt the ghoul, not the ghoul, but the disembodied spook hand squeezing my, well...
Your buttock.
Do you mind if I say that?
Just be quiet, bud.
Yes, squeezing my buttock. Now, those creatures, these ghosts, can make themselves known that way. You don't know what their power is. What if they can get inside of you and possess you?
Well, I'm assuming all those things can happen. If there's really ghosts in that house, I'm assuming they can do all kinds of things that I would be defenseless against. I'm willing to risk that.
Well, you're willing to risk it. You don't think you're risking anything, do you? You think it's all phony baloney.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm willing to risk it because I know there are no ghosts. I'm willing to risk it because I know I will come face to face with something different. I'll be coming face to face with individuals, whoever, that have to convince me there are ghosts. I'll be coming face to face with human beings. Human beings who are going to try and scare me and make me think it's ghosts. And thus, you know, sell the point that the house is haunted. I'm going to be ready for that 1,000,000%. Ghosts? Who can be ready for ghosts?
You can have garlic and everything. What about that?
Not garlic, you jackball. Garlic is for vampires, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Do I look like the ghost expert?
Well, you'd have to have something that would ward off a spirit. I know. What about the Native Americans when they do the... what was it? Someone does that... I know, Bobby Dooley's husband, Steve, did the, hey, ahoy, you remember that?
Yeah, he does a phony baloney Indian dance. Get out of here. That isn't even real what that guy does. I don't know if there's a way of warding off evil spirits, and if there is, if there's some little ritual, sure, yeah, I could do that just to make people feel better, just to make people think that I'm buying it. But I don't think that they would be needed, because I don't believe that the evil spirits that they have been created to ward off exist. Okay.
Why don't you believe in these things? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, what about Amityville Horror and all and everything like that?
Amityville Horror was the biggest load to come down to Pike since they moved that duck farm down in the 605 2 miles. That was a big load of goose dung, okay?
You said it's goose dung, man. The people ran out of there scared half to death.
Those people are full of it, man. Everybody, that family that said that place was haunted, full of crap. Read their story and the whole thing that went, it's baloney. I'm telling you, the whole Amityville Horror thing was baloney.
So you're tempting the evilness.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, bud.
Well,
you know, Phil, I don't believe in ghosts myself, but or the way these people do, the way that these three do.
Don't point your finger at me, General.
Well, I don't believe, but you're tempting when you say, I don't know, Dickman, I think, has got a point about the evilness of it.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here.
Well, what does that mean, yeah?
What it means is we're taking a break here, and we're going to move on to something else, perhaps a bit more rooted in the real, baby. We're going to get into some heatwave news, you know, and the Groove Nation that is. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
You won't say you believe in ghosts.
No, I won't.
I said to say it.
No, I will not.
Once was a sweet thing. Say it. Say it.